Luke 23:48. And all the people that came together at that sight, beholding the things that were done, smote their breasts and returned. You will find that if you look at the death of the Lord Jesus, it was a fulfillment of prophecy. And you will find that it was a fulfillment of various types. Now, he couldn't fulfill the animal types, because they died with a knife, their throats cut, and they died in the fire, were burned in the fire. He was neither killed with the sword nor burned in the fire. He had to die a different way. And you'll find that the way he died was to fulfill one special type. It's in Numbers chapter 21, and you can see it there easily. It's of the brazen serpent. Now, the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and they grumbled against God. God sent serpents and bit them. And those bites were poisonous, and they died. And Moses went to the Lord and said, what can be done to save them? Because the people are dying in great numbers from this biting. And the Lord said, make a brazen serpent, set it on a pole. Now, you'll see that pole anywhere, in doctors' cars or anywhere. You'll see it, if you see a doctor on call, you'll often see a round circle, and in it a pole with a snake twisted round. It's the brazen serpent. And he said, whoever looks on that serpent will live. So the Lord Jesus was like that serpent, lifted up for all to see. And it's more than that, because in Psalm 22, he says, they pierced my hands and my feet. Now, if you pierce hands and feet, that is not the death of a sword, nor is it the death of fire. It is only one death could do it, and that is the cross. Therefore, God willed the cross. Now, I want to tell you something more God willed, and that's very clear. God willed the bad behavior of the crowd. Now, you will say to me, God does not will bad things. God could not will evil things. Well, listen to me before you say it. The crowd behaved abominably. They behaved like mad dogs. They behaved just like the crowds at Tyburn, when you've got a servant girl hanged for stealing a handkerchief or sixpence, and they'd all go for the holiday to watch her hang. They do anything for the sight of blood. Now, when I was in a town abroad, an Arab capital in the army, our cook asked the day off. And when asked why, he said his brother was being hung in the prison and he wanted to take his family to watch. So he took his whole family to watch his brother hung in the prison. If you think that's extraordinary, when they electrocute a man in the electric chair, they have to issue tickets for those who watch, because so many people want to come that they can't fit them in. The fact is that that crowd behaved absolutely abominably. You'll find that Psalm 22 describes them as bulls of Bashan, the biggest type of bulls. It says they beset him around. It says that the dogs have compassed me about. The company of evildoers have surrounded me. This evil, evil crowd around the Lord Jesus as he hung on the cross. Now, I want you to think about that crowd, because in them lie many secrets of your own heart and of others. But don't forget what I said, that God willed it. I mean what I say. Now, let's go to that crowd. Here they stand. Let's go to one man and say to him, friend, why did you come here? Why are you behaving like this? And listen to his answer. When he can stop yelling, he says, well, I went out for the holiday. And as I was going on my way, I saw the pavement outside Pilate's palace, and a whole crowd gathered there, so I joined in. Now, it says in the Bible, never go with a crowd. So the first thing to learn from this was this fool of a man had joined in with a crowd. Never go the way the crowd does. Do the crowd go in one direction? You go in the opposite. Do they all set out to do something? You set out to do the opposite. That is the first lesson. So the man said, well, I don't really know why I'm here, but the high priests were all shouting, and the priests, tell him, crucify him, crucify him. So I shouted with the best of them, and here I am yelling at him. What you say? Yelling at a defenseless man in such a pitiable condition, dying on a cross. And the man says, well, everybody else does, I do what they do. Now that's just what's happening in England today. And that's why they're not listening to the gospel. Now, go to the next man. Here he is in the heat of his rage and everything. And you say to him, why are you here? Well, he says, I saw this man. And he's been preaching all sorts of things which I don't like. Look, he said, the bottom of the problem is this. Money. It's money, stupid. It's like this. Do you know that 90% of this crowd work in the temple? That's what 90% of Jerusalem did. And do you know that if we displease the chief priests and the others, we'll lose our jobs? We can't afford to do that. Friend, he said, I don't really feel anything against this man particularly, but I'm very angry in case I have to show it, in case I lost my job. So you see, the majority of English people are behaving as they are today toward Jesus simply because they love money. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or cling to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Make a clear distinction in your mind. You're not running with the crowd. You're not going to serve mammon for money for any way round at all. Throw your money in the sea and follow Jesus. Jesus said unto the rich young man, take that which give to the poor and come follow me. That's what many men in the Middle Ages did, many men in the early church did. And did they lose by it? They got a name that is eternal. And the ones who hung on to their money, they got a name like mud. Never hang on to money. It's either money or Jesus. Now this man says to us plainly, he's chosen money. Now let's go to the third man in the crowd and say to him, friend, why are you here? What's attracted you? Well, he said, I've always been undecided about this fellow. He said, the people said he was a prophet and he did miracles and things. Mind you, he said, you can do wrong miracles. I don't know. I'm quite undecided. So I went home and I shut my door, but I heard all the crowd yelling and I saw him passing in the street, so I came up here. And he said, but you're yelling with the best of them, you're hoarse. Oh, the man says, you have to do it when you're with Rome, you know, you do as the Romans do. But I want really to see if he's a prophet and if he'll come down from that cross. Well, you see, the man has a very inadequate view of Jesus. And that's exactly what they do today. They have an idea of Jesus that he's some wet, weak, meek and mild Jesus who ought to be giving them more money and a better time and more peace and getting rid of the wars and getting rid of the troubles and helping them. Well now, let's go on to another. This is standing right at the foot of the cross. And he's dressed in rich robes and he has a great long beard and he has broad phylacteries on his head and on his arms. He's a very religious man. And you say to him, friend, how is it that you're standing so near a dead thing when you're meant to be clean for your feast? Oh, he says, I keep my robes far enough away from him to not be affected by him. I'm going to enjoy the lamb tomorrow. Friend, why are you here? And he says, with his face twisted in malice and hate and rage, I hate him. I hate him. You say, friend, why do you hate him? Because he attacked me. What did he say to you? He said, you're a hypocrite. He said, I know that you make long prayers in public, and underneath, all you're doing is grubbing for money, and you even steal widows' houses. So you leave the widow on the street and get her house to add to your income. Ah, doesn't that just describe all our politicians and many church leaders today? He said, he attacked me. And the man next to him joins in. He says, yes, and it's worse than that. He ought to die, because if he doesn't, all the nation will die. Look, he said, he's spoken against the Romans. And if the Romans will come and take away our place, that's the most important thing. We're very important people and our nation. So we've condemned him to death to save the whole nation. And that's why he is. And he stands up there spitting in the face of Jesus again. And criticizing for everything he can. You see, a lot of people in this land hate Jesus because he won't allow their gambling. He won't allow the way they live. He attacks them for the way they've divorced and remarried. He attacks them because of the way they are hypocritical about things. You see, they like changing light bulbs, not repenting. They like saying somebody should do something about it instead of coming to Christ and repenting. And the result is the mess we see. Now this is our fellow countrymen just around us. The religious leaders, everybody. Now let's leave the scene for them and let's listen to one last thing. As we're standing there, suddenly a woman appears with a man, and they're standing close to the cross, and this man in his utter pain and mortal agony says, "Woman, behold thy son." And we suddenly realize she's his mother. "Mother," he says, "you look at your son. I'm dead. This one will have to be. Son, behold thy mother." And then they turn round and go away weeping. And the man takes the woman and looks after her as his own mother. Now, that makes you think. And then again, as we watch, one of them on the cross beside him curses him in his pain. And he says, "If you're the Son of God, get me out of this. Get us down from here." And he's furiously angry. Angry with God, angry with everything, angry with himself. And the other man joins him, and suddenly he stops. And he says, "Lord, we're here right." And he turns to the other man and he said, "You know we're here justly because of the evil things we've been doing in killing men on the high road and taking their money." And he said, "But this man never did anything wrong." And he turns to the Lord Jesus and in his dying pain he says, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." And then we watch. And we watch the whole scene until he bows his head and gives up the ghost. And let's go away. Now let's come back again. It's 3 hours later and a little bit more. And look at the same crowd. You remember I said to you that God willed that scene? Well, I mean it. Here are the crowd, and they're beating their breasts and crying out and weeping and leaving the scene mourning and in woe. And we go to one man and say, "Friend, what has changed you from yelling against Jesus to being like this?" And he said, "The sun darkened." Now he said, "Do you not know? People of those days knew a lot about eclipses. Don't be a fool." I said, "Do you not know you couldn't have an eclipse now? The sun, the moon isn't big enough to cover the face of the earth. We couldn't have an eclipse at this moment, but the sun darkened." And we stood there and I shivered in my cold. I shivered, I don't know why, but some terrible, terrible cold thing gripped hold of me. I could not imagine, so I couldn't even look on that man on the cross. But he said, I saw him there, and I knew that God was angry with us. Now friend, God is angry with people through nature. When there is a flood, when the wind blows a tree down on a car, when there is a famine, when half the farmland in Europe dries up, when there is a storm at sea and ships go down, all these things are signs that God is angry with man for his behavior. God is not fooled. God is not mocked. And he's angry. People say, "Well, let us change the light bulbs so as to get over this situation." They're fools. Do you know that 98% of all the matter in our little universe is taken up by the sun? And if the sun's surface changes just a degree, we burn. We feel it. We would be wise to do what that crowd did. Now, who made them repent? God did. God showed them what a wicked thing they'd done. So you see, God willed it. for the best. And friend, if you're ever going to come to Jesus, the first thing that will happen to you is the very worst side of your nature will be brought out. And it will be brought out in relation to the Lord Jesus, and it will be brought out completely, and you'll live with it until you repent. Even Christians have to repent every day. Repentance is a handmaid which accompanies us to heaven. We never get over the need of it. Now, that's the first man. Let's turn to another man in the crowd. Friend, what's this change that's come over you? Why are you doing this? And he said, and through his tears, he said, well, I looked at the man. I've never seen anyone like him. Even the centurion below the cross said, behold, this was a righteous man. He said, I heard him say it. And that man, I've seen him crucify people time and again. And he never said a word. He never batted an eyelid. He's used to it. But he said those words. And I watched him. He said, there never was a face like that. So marred and so beautiful. So gentle and so loving and so strong. And so much in control. He said, I believe him. I believe that he was the Son of God. But it's too late. I don't know what to do. And he goes away from us, beating his breast. My friend, I'll take you a little further. Even those wicked priests, when their utter wickedness, and the Bible calls them dogs, it doesn't talk nicely about them when it calls about the assembly of the evil. Well now, these men, later on, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You see, I said God was in it. God chooses to lead us down, 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 down until we hit the very bottom. And then he raises us up again. And I've seen him do it with time and again in people's lives. That's the only way God deals. So then God has willed every trouble that has come into your life for your good, that you might repent and that you might turn back to him. That is the message of the crowd. And until our crowds do the same. But I have one more message for you. And it's this. Not only would many of those people later have the Lord Jesus open their hearts in belief, so that 3,000 came to Christ in one day under Peter's sermon. But I tell you this, and it's the most important lesson of all that we learn today. If you look at those people again, you're looking at yourself. You're looking at yourself. We, every one of us, have despised Jesus. We, every one of us, time and again, have joined in his crucifixion. We, every one of us, have blamed him for the things that went wrong. We're the same. But, oh friend, what we need to do is this. Like those people did, admit that God is in it. Now, I've tried to show you what happened on that cross. How they broke the thieves' legs and how they left him hanging there and he died himself. Now we won't go any further into it, but I want you to just think of one more thing with it all, and that's that the Lord Jesus Christ loved them, and the more they hated him, the more he loved them. And all over the world, people who've hated the Lord Jesus, Chinese communists, Hindus, Muslims, and thousands in Iran, they even say that if you took the lid off things, they believe the country would turn Christian. There's countless numbers of haters of Jesus who've stood round the cross and jeered at him, and when they see him lifted up, are drawn to him. Don't ever imagine that we're a dying church. There's nothing like that. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. That crowd is the first drawing. He draws his enemies. He draws those who haven't a shadow of an excuse for the way they behave. Those who are without righteousness and without anything. Our self-righteous nation, with its thousands of little charities and its thousands of little doing goods and its long lists of its own righteousness and its laws which are meant to improve morality and all the rest is pushed aside by Christ. What he looks for is his plain enemies, and the greatest hope of the future in this land is this, that our land will show its enmity to Christ more and more. And that means they've got to show their enmity to us, because we're the body of Christ. And as they show their enmity to us, there is hope. There is hope yet in thy latter end, says the Bible. Oh, that it might be so. Amen.